Two street preachers in London have been making noise in the city for a while now, and they were making noise on our airwaves last week as we explored how dozens of women complain about being called prostitutes and worse by the pair. And we've been digging into the story a bit deeper and have found both men follow the teachings of a dead U.S. evangelist named William Branham. Here's a clip from when reporter Andrew Lupton spoke with Matthew Carapella, one of London's two street preachers. In it, he talks about how Stephen Ravbar, who preaches with him on London streets, introduced him to Branham's sermons.
God brought Stephen across my path, my old grade 7 teacher. He showed me the Bible. No, you need a King James Bible. He started giving me sermons on this William Branham. First sermon, Andrew, I heard by Brother Branham. I rejoice. I said, praise the Lord. That's it. That's what I've been searching for my whole life.
Okay, other people consider that man a cult leader.
I know, because they're not predestinated.
Okay.
Andrew, some people have a seed of God in them, that they're God intended them to be a believer before the foundation of the world, but most people...
Brandon's a prophet and all that?
Definitely. A seventh angel messenger, a prophet of God, absolutely.
Okay.
The prophet of God.
That was CBC London's Andrew Lupton speaking with one of London's street preachers. We're now joined by John Collins from Jeffersonville, Indiana. John is a former member of a Branham-inspired group, one he calls a cult. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty well. John, who was William Branham?
William Branham was a Pentecostal minister from Jeffersonville, Indiana, where I live. He was ordained as a minister and set forth as an evangelist by a high-ranking member of the Ku Klux Klan named Roy E. Davis. Branham was one of two catalysts for the latter rain sect of Pentecostalism that swept through Canada in 1948, and he was a driving force for its spread into the United States. His version of latter rain was called The Message, which is the same name that is collectively used for this cult following today. And it's attracted the likes of Jim Jones, who, as you know, together with 900 of his followers, committed mass suicide in Jonestown, Guyana.
Hmm. How is William Branham able to influence people 40 years after his death?
From 1947 to 1965, William Branham recorded over 1,000 sermons. And after his death, through the work of his two sons and cult pastors and leaders such as my grandfather, the destructive cult has continued to grow and spread around the world. He's been dead for over 50 years, but his voice lives on through these recordings, and the recordings themselves have become the central figure for this group.
You were born, as you've mentioned, into a group that followed Branham. What makes, and you just called it a destructive cult, what was it like being a part of that group?
Being a part of a destructive cult is very different from being part of, say, a church or community of people. The word cult itself is not such a bad word. A cult is a group of people that are devoted to a common belief or cause, and it empowers individuals to be leaders for that cause, whereas a destructive cult manipulates and controls individual behavior, thought, and emotions while controlling or hiding information that is critical against the group. People such as these street preachers that you see, you're not witnessing the true identity of these people, their true personalities. You're witnessing somebody who is being controlled, and unfortunately they're being controlled through these recordings that they have access to.
How then were you able to get out? Do you remember yourself being so indoctrinated by all of this?
It was only a few years ago that myself and my wife and three kids were in this group. I was born and raised in it. Leaving was very difficult. From my personal experience, I suffered a series of life-changing events that were very traumatic, such as a two-year-old nephew was dying of cancer, and I was in a financial crisis. It shook me enough that I personally began soul searching and started examining this group that my family helped to spread and create. At the same time, I did not know at that time it was a destructive cult. So I started examining the many claims that I also was trying to help spread, and I suddenly realized that many of them did not happen exactly as they claimed. Some of them, a large portion of it, did not happen at all. So I began a deep study of the Bible itself, and I found many cases where cult doctrine was the exact opposite of what the Bible said.
Today, are you a Christian then?
Yes, we are. My family attends a local community Christian church here in Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Have you severed ties with the rest of your family who still follows the teachings of Branham?
Whenever I first began to question in 2012, most of my family and friends cut me off at that point. A few lingered for a few years, but the relationship was definitely not the same. It became very superficial. We have a few family members and a few friends who are still in the group that will maintain contact with us, but the vast majority do not.
We have heard from at least one or two family members of one of the street preachers who says they are hoping to work with their family member, the street preacher, to get him out of this, as you call it, a destructive cult. What advice would you have for them?
My advice is that there is hope. The Matthew Carapella and the Steve Rabbar that you see today, it's not the true authentic person that's deep inside. The person inside wants to be out and wants to be free. Nobody wants to be trapped inside of a cult and be manipulated. But they are being manipulated and influenced into believing cult doctrine without critical thought. And we have to empower them to critically think and critically examine what it is that they're saying and what it is that they believe. But at the same time, we have to be very careful not to focus our frustration against the people. We have to focus it against the group that is controlling the people.
How do you do that?
The best way to do that is to start educating them into understanding what it is that they believe and how to critically examine it. And there are a number of resources. I have a website, seekyouthetruth.com. On there, you'll find a list of partner pages of different sites that are devoted to help educating people to become aware of what it is that they're following. And if we can help them to understand and help them to critically think about what it is that they're doing, there is a large chance that they will wake up. We have worked with a number of people around the world who have awakened from this and other groups.
And for the folks in London who are often on the other side of their verbal assaults, I'll call it for now, what do they do? What should people walking by do?
It is as frustrating as I can possibly imagine, I'm sure, to walk past these people. But they thrive. They're seeking somebody to condemn. The entire foundation of William Branham's message was one of condemnation, not one of forgiveness and righteousness. And they are seeking people that they can condemn who will give ear. So whenever you stop and you pay attention to these people, or whenever you start engaging them, you're actually feeding what they're there for. You're feeding their entire purpose. So if you walk past and just completely ignore them, eventually they'll get tired of speaking to the wind.
Okay. John Collins, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That was John Collins. He used to belong to a group inspired by the same evangelist who influenced London's two street preachers, the ones we have been talking about, and he joined me by phone from Jeffersonville, Indiana. Meanwhile, Matthew Carapella's family believes he is under the influence of a cult and say they're working to help him, and they also apologize for his behavior.